Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, I'm a high blue Monday. Got to work, plan to sleep all deep.
Hello, infidels. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Do you have a sun? Oh, my email is talking to me again. Pardon me. Do you have a sunny brain or a rainy brain? There is a professor at Oxford named Elaine Fox who is brilliant, and she's developed a theory on sunny brain versus rainy brain. Are you an optimist or a pessimist? And the reason I mention it is because this election is all about sunny brain and rainy brain. There are those who say the world's going to come to an end if Trump wins. Those say the world will come to an end if Hillary wins. Don't put any other name in there because the other names are irrelevant. They're background. They're the appetizer or the potato and the vegetable on the plate. They're not the main course. So those of you who are supporting Trump say that the world will come to an end if Hillary wins. Those of you who are supporting Hillary say why it's a terrible world if Trump wins. The world will come to an end. The fact of the matter is I don't think either of those people will destroy the world. But we're going to talk about that because Donald Trump will be with us on this show in about an hour. And there are many topics I do want to get to. The biggest scandal is this. It came out on Breitbart, I don't know, recently by Julia Hahn, revealed Colorado lawmakers who voted to scrap election are Ted Cruz delegates. I was shocked to read this. Social media posts along with Cruz campaign website reveal that Senator Ted Cruz, R. Canada, supporters in the Colorado Republican Party were responsible for crushing an effort to give Colorado the ability to vote in the state primary. In May of 2015, four Colorado State Senate Republicans killed an initiative to create a presidential primary in 2016, reported the Denver Post. Under the bill, Colorado would have held a presidential primary in March that ran parallel with the state's complicated caucus system. When it came before the Senate Appropriations Committee, four Republicans voted to kill the bill, with three Democrats supporting it. The four quisling Republicans who voted against the initiative, that is to give people the right to vote, were Senator Kevin Grantham, Senator Kent Lambert, Senator Laura Woods, and Senator Jerry Sonnenberg. On Cruz's campaign website, Senators Woods, Grantham, and Lambert are all listed as Cruz supporters and as declared members of Cruz's Colorado leadership team. I rest my case. Would you rather have votes or not votes? Would you rather have a rigged system where only party apparatchiks vote or not? I mean, be very clear about it. There are those supporting this party system, which is ludicrous on the face of it, since this entire revolution going on the Republican side is about overthrowing the tyranny of the party bosses, whether they be on a local, state, or national level. Answer that question to yourself before you open your pie hole. Listen to what I just said. Is this entire fervor going on inside the Republican Party, or on the conservative side, or the moderate side, the non-Democrat side? Let's put it to you that way. Okay? Did you hear what I just said? What is it all about? It's about overthrowing business as usual. It's about overthrowing party bosses who make decisions in back rooms. It's about giving the people the power to vote. Is that not true? Well, if that's true, why would you support a system that cuts the voter out and sit there like a jackass and talk about how wonderful it is to cut the voters out and make believe that you're part of the revolution? How can you buy that rubbish? Well, that's what those people are selling you, those four in Colorado and the other states that are stealing it from Trump. Now, if Trump were to go into an election in these states and lose, fine, that's the way it is. He did lose a state or two. That's the way it was. The people had their voice. Do you want the people to vote or not vote? What do you want? What is it that you want? What is it that you stand for? Those of you who claim you stand for something, what do you stand for? What? Manipulating things behind the scenes and cutting the people out? That's what brings about bloody revolutions in nations. Do you know that? What was the war in Iraq for? Was it not to give the people the right to vote? Remember the purple fingers? That's what the $1 trillion was for? to give the Shiites the right to vote, to put a little purple dot on their hand and go and vote and pick whichever candidate they wanted, or to sit back in their houses and let someone pick the leader for them? Is that what you wanted? That's what the war was. How could you not understand this? So that's a big topic, and I think it's worth talking about. And I'm going to make a jump cut to this. And it's going to be a little circuitous, but you're going to have to bear with me. This is the way my brain is wired for today. This morning, I was playing with my granddaughter. I don't see her much. I see her very rarely. And she's grown so fast. She's 2 years old. And I took her to a little orchard with her parents that I have in a hidden location up in the hill with its own reservoir. And I have fruit trees up there. And everything is in bloom. And it was like walking in a paradise, in a little Garden of Eden. And seeing the child look at a rhododendron maybe for the first time and telling her the name of the plant, the rhododendron, and showing her other flowers and showing her fruit trees that are going from flower to fruit. And I look down the hill and I look up the hill and I look at the water and I realize that we're living, many of us are living, in a paradise. We're living in paradise in America. And many of us want this paradise transferred to our, let us say, descendants, our children and grandchildren. We don't want to pass onto them a destroyed nation. And many of us fear that a Democrat, socialist, Islamist presidency by Hillary will destroy that dream, will steal everything we worked for going back all of our generations. And is that a rational fear that Hillary will destroy it? Is it rational, or is that based on a sunny brain or rainy brain? Meaning, are you an optimist or a pessimist? Will she actually destroy the middle class? Is what we're talking about. Will she take away our property rights by taxing us off our own property? Would you work your whole life, let's say pay off a house and want to give it to your child, and then have your child have to pay a tax that's so high that the child can't even inherit that property? That's already happened to a great extent to many people in this country because of previous socialist presidents, whether you know it or not. That's called the inheritance tax. Do you understand what taxation is? It's what caused the first American Revolution. Taxation without representation. The jackal in the White House is a long descendant of these taxation without representation types. I'm also going to do another jump cut now. You're going to have to follow this one. We've gone from Cruz stealing the elections by locking voters out and his mouthpieces saying that that's democracy in action. Next, we went to a man on radio talking about walking around a small property of a fruit orchard with his little two-year-old granddaughter and seeing the delight in their eyes. Then we talked about the grandfather wondering if he'll be able to give anything if Hillary wins because she'll take everything away and say it's unfair. Or the commie seltzer man from New York wanting to take away what this immigrant son built up his whole life. Well, let me tell you something, seltzer man. You'll have to do it over my cold, dead fingers because I'm not giving you my life, seltzer man. I didn't work my whole life that a street rat like you could take it away from me, and I'm not alone. There are 50 million of us, and we're armed to the teeth, seltzer man, and we won't come at you with seltzer bottles, seltzer man. That's what many of us feel. We're at the point of blood in our eyes. Make no mistake about it, we're ready to fight. And we're not going to let anyone steal our land from us and steal our property from us. Under the guise of communism called fairness, unfairness, income inequality. It's a bunch of garbage. It's communism warmed over. And no matter how you warm over crap, it's still crap. Now that's the opening to the opening to the opening. And now I want to go to an animal show. I often watch animal shows. I like to watch them. And one of the most heartbreaking scenes to watch, and very hard to watch, but I watch them, is the savannah in Africa. When you see a band of hyenas hunting down, let us say, a water buffalo, and they pick out the weakest water buffalo. And what do the hyenas attack when they jump on that water buffalo? They don't attack the horn. It's too hard. They avoid the teeth and the hooves of the water buffalo. They're too hard. When you see hyenas jump on a water buffalo, tearing at the anus of the water buffalo because it is exposed and weak, and ripping the animal apart, your heart, you know, goes out to the poor animal, but then you recognize that that's the little law of the jungle. And then I think of my nation. This nation is like that water buffalo. And the chief jackal in the White House has torn us apart at our weakest points. The very humanitarianism that made this nation stand above all others. The very humanitarianism that distinguishes us from all other nations is the weakness that is being used by the jackal in the White House and his band of jackals to rip us apart. Using our very kindness to destroy us, I thought to myself. That's what the jackal in the White House has done and is doing. And today we wake up and see why Scalia was, let us say, died under strange circumstances in that hotel in Texas. The strange death of Antonin Scalia that has never been covered by the brave men in the media. They'll cover a press secretary touching a fake reporter with a fervor you've never seen in your life. But not one of them spent an ounce of ink on the strange death of Antonin Scalia. And now we see a Supreme Court divided 4-4 on whether or not the jackal-in-chief shall have the power to grant unlimited rights to 4 million, at least 4 million illegal aliens, including voting rights, because you're not allowed to ask for their voting ID, just in time for the election, as he did in the last election. The jackal-in-chief is doing more damage to the very pillars of this democracy that have been done by all previous assaults upon this country. And that is the opening to the opening to the opening of the savage nation. Donald Trump will be here at 1 o'clock to answer my questions. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. So we have an emerging dictatorship in the United States of America coming out of the White House itself, the jackal-in-chief doing everything he can to run the country as though it's his fiefdom, being stopped by no one. We've talked about that ad infinitum. But now it's coming to the forefront because he wants to grant amnesty to, he says, 4 million illegals. That means 12 to 15 million, which you know will grant them the right to vote because you're not allowed to ask for voter ID in the corrupt America of Barack Obama. On the other side of the aisle, you have people conspiring to steal your vote in states, and they're calling themselves conservatives. They're conspiring to steal the popular vote and tell you, well, those are the rules. You should have known the rules. We wrote the rules. Why, 6 months ago we wrote the rules. If you really knew what you were doing, you would know the rules. We wrote the rules. Tell me how they're any different than the left. Tell me how the apparatchiks of the conservative or Republican side are any different than the apparatchiks of the Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama side. There is no difference. And now in the midst of it all, we keep seeing calls for arresting under RICO, charging under RICO anyone who disagrees with global warming, the lie of global warming, which, as you know, is an enrichment scheme created by congresswomen and senators to steal money from the Treasury under the guise of the environment. And so what happened is people started saying, come on, we're looking at the evidence. It's nonsense. It's not there. We don't believe it. So what they want to do now is close off all debate. And these climate groups have gotten together with corrupt attorney generals, such as the Attorney General of New York, along with Al Gore, to put together, they cobbled together an idea now to charge anybody who denies global warming, charge them with RICO, under RICO, racketeering. Did you hear me? Anyone who denies that there's a global warming reality through evidence that doesn't support it, they want to charge you under RICO statutes, which was developed to take down organized crime. This is pure unadulterated Soviet fascism. And who are these people? Al Gore, 16 Democratic attorneys general, and it came out over the weekend that there was actually a conspiracy between the Democratic attorneys general and these green gangster groups. I have their names. I would like to see the FBI charge these attorneys general and these gangster groups under RICO, because turnabout is fair game. I would like to see the attorney general of the state of New York charged with RICO statute, a RICO statute for conspiring in this manner. Sheldon Whitehouse, Rhode Island Democrat, petitioned the Justice Department to file a racketeering lawsuit against so-called corporations and other organizations that have knowingly deceived the American people about the risks of climate change. Well, new emails have shed new light on Whitehouse, whatever his name is, Whitehouse, Sheldon Whitehouse, New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, Lemuel Strolovic, Environmental Protection Bureau Chief for the New York Attorney General, and the names are there, I'll give you the article. All of them conspire together to use the heavy hand of the Justice Department to shut down all discussion of the big fraud called global warming. And what came out in the emails is that these people were going back and forth with each other to how to present themselves to the public. This is a huge topic. Mr. Schneiderman's effort in order to shut down all discussion indicates that Schneiderman is a fascist of the highest order. And I would like to see Schneiderman charged along with all of the other conspirators, I don't care if they're senators or congressmen, under the RICO statutes that they wanted to bring against those of us who know that it's a fraud. I got to tell you how big this is, and I think you can get it. They've joined a lawsuit to try and stop people from even discussing this issue of climate change or global warming. Attorney General George Jepson of Connecticut, Brian E. Frosch of Maryland, Maura Healey of Massachusetts, Mark Herring of Virginia. In my estimation, there are grounds to bring them into justice and try them under RICO statutes for conspiring to shut down a conversation and intimidating people from having a rational discussion about the merits or dismerits of so-called climate change. They should be hung by their own petard. Then you will see justice in America. When you see state attorney generals conspiring like this with green gangster groups, and now they're caught in their own emails, tell me the American people would not cheer to see them let out in handcuffs. Can you imagine Schneiderman being let out in handcuffs along with four state attorneys general? Would that not give you the satisfaction that America's justice system is really working?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287.
Donald Trump will be here in about 30 minutes to answer some of my questions. As you know, tomorrow is a big day in New York. He's way ahead in all the polls, and we'll have to see what happens both in New York and after that. But I have some very, I think, important questions for Mr. Trump that I'm sure you will find stimulate your intelligence. Let me take a quick call. Steve on line 3, KCMO, Kansas City. What's on your mind, Steve?
Michael, you are a modern-day Isaiah. And what this election is about, it's not just about Trump versus Cruz and Trump versus Hillary. It's about...
But go ahead, say me and other hosts. I got it.
Okay, these other hosts are all making excuses for what's taking place in the Republican primary.
I don't know how Rush Limbaugh and others can justify cutting people out of a voting process and call themselves conservatives. I don't understand that.
You know, Michael, from the time that we were in first grade, we've been told that this is a nation of, by, and for the people. And how does that jive with what's going on in the Republican primary?
You'll have to ask Rush Limbaugh and company how he can justify it, because for the life of me, when I listen to him, I don't know how he thinks anyone can listen to that and think that anyone's buying it. Say, oh, well, the rules were written, therefore the rules hold. But that's exactly what we're trying to overturn, which are people who write rules that are so obtuse that no one can follow them and no one even knows when they were written. But put that aside. I thought that it's one man, one vote. I thought that's what people died for in this country, to give us the right to vote. What freedoms do we really have in this nation that matter other than the vote? And when you take the vote out, what's left? Tell me, the right to buy a red shirt or green shirt or a blue shirt? The right to be gay or straight? That's a big freedom? It's the right to pick who runs the country. That's the one we fought for, our ancestors did. It's the what I fight for every day on this show. And so I don't trust that opinion whatsoever. I think it's fraudulent.
Michael, these people who are voting for Cruz have become part of the apparatchiks that are running the so.
That's how it looks like to me. They're glorified. They're actually gloating over a no vote situation. Like, well, we wrote the rules. You should have known about them. How does that differ from any other dictatorship?
Exactly. You're right. You know something?
Let me say this. I have been on record supporting Donald Trump from the beginning. I have never played it down the middle. There's a number of reasons for it. My primary reason... Now, let me say this. I'll qualify it. Donald Trump is a centrist Republican. Make no mistake about it. He is a centrist Republican. If I truly believed that there was a chance in you-know-where for a true borders language culture, extremely right-wing conservative to win the general election, I would support that individual. But I know this country so well that I know the best we're going to get is a centrist Republican who will give us a wall, who will give us a restoration of our national honor, who will rein in the out-of-control spending, and who will rein in China and the other countries that are ripping us off, and restore the military to boot, and cut out all of the brainwashing of our children. That's a big order for anyone to do, and I think he's the only one who could do it by winning the general election. So I've been on, you know, I should take some pride in the fact that I picked him way in the beginning because I felt he's the only one who could defeat Hillary Clinton. What's interesting right now, my friend, is that Rupert Murdoch, who owns the News Corporation, a brilliant man, absolutely brilliant genius, started with one newspaper in the outbacks of Australia and built up this huge empire. Who would not admire that? The Hearst of our time, right? They were in the tank for Hillary forever. And they used Machine Gun Kelly to attack Trump from the get-go. Remember that, what Machine Gun Kelly did? Yes. Okay, well, I'll just continue my monologue. So Rupert Murdoch's minions, including Machine Gun Kelly, went after him tooth and claw trying to bring him down, and they failed. And now that they realize they failed, and he's virtually unstoppable, Machine Gun Kelly is on her hands and knees begging Trump to grant her an interview. Rupert Murdoch has, quote, told his minions to warm up to Trump because they see which way the wind blows, and they realize they bet on the wrong horse. And they realize Trump may be president. And two things you got to know about Donald Trump that I found so far. He never forgets his friends, and more importantly, he never forgets his enemies. That's what I can guarantee you is going through their minds. It's the old Godfather line. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. They learn finally in their own heads that they can try to destroy Donald Trump at their own, you know, risk, the risk of their own futures. And now they see which way the wind blows. And suddenly Fox News is moving towards Trump. That should tell you something. So now, without much further ado, I'll tell you something. The funniest part of this election for me is Bernie Sanders. How a low-life comedian like him could get this far on the rhetoric of a 10-year-old, and it's rhetoric that's very dangerous, by the way. Rhetoric of communism has always produced disaster. It's produced a shortage of food, the imprisonment of dissenters, and a collapsed economy. That's what communism has always produced. What Bernie Sanders is espousing with his nice grandfatherly delivery is nothing short of communism. Oh, he calls himself a democratic socialist, but make no mistake about it. We know what he really is. He's a hardcore 60s radical left-wing fanatic. And whether he himself would do it or not doesn't matter. It's the people he would bring in around him. It's those he'd bring in around him, the mad dog professors who would shoot you if they could. The mad dog left-wing fanatics who would line you up and shoot you en masse if they had the power to do so. The attorney generals conspiring to shut down any debate on global warming are an example of what happens when Democrats get out of control. So Bernie Sanders would be simply a laugh line were he not so popular among so many young people. And his popularity amongst that particular demographic is a representation more so not of his policies, but of the fact that most of them were raised on drugs like Adderall and things like that. And then they went on to hard drugs. And then in the schooling that they got, they learned nothing except America is bad, corporations are evil, there's income inequality, et cetera. You know, I don't have to give you the whole mantra. You could fill in the blank yourself. So along he comes. Now all of a sudden he's giving Hillary a run for her money, and she's running scared. She's trying to run to the left in order to, you know, capture that vote. He doesn't have a chance in heck of winning a nomination because the delegates are all hers, no matter what the left wing would like. See, here you go again. Same exact thing. The popular vote doesn't matter on the left either. The progressives are finding out that there is no vote in America. You see what I'm saying to you? So now along comes Sanders, and to top it all off, for years he says he's not a practicing Jew. I'm not a practicing Jew because, as you well know, leftists have no religion. You know, they follow Karl Marx, who said religion is the opiate of the masses. I'm sure you heard that at some point in your life. It was from Karl Marx. Marx came along, and he didn't like that the Russians were religious and went to church. And he wanted to replace Jesus with himself, Karl Marx. And he wanted to replace the church with the state. And he wanted them to worship the state religion of Marxism. And the same thing with Bernie Sanders, in other words. You get the picture? You see how this works? So for years, Bernie Sanders says, I'm not a practicing Jew because I have no religion. Now, that unto itself is very funny. So now he inveigles his way to be invited to the Vatican last week, which is unheard of, that this socialist pope would invite a presidential candidate and agree to see him is unheard of. I've never seen it before in an election. It's unheard of that a pope would meddle in a state affair like this, like presidential election. But this is nothing new for communists around the world. They meddle in everything. All right, so Bernie gets the invitation. He gets invited. What does he do right away? There he is, the deli man. He gets the corned beef sandwich, and he gets the pickle on the plate. Then he says to the deli man, can you give me an extra pickle? So the deli man says, well, they're a nickel. He says, all right, give me an extra pickle. Come on, the sandwich is $8.95. So he cajoles the deli man to give him an extra pickle. He gets the extra pickle. He says, doesn't it come with coleslaw as well? The guy says, no, it only comes with pickles, coleslaw or extra. Come on, he says. I saw the menu. It said it comes with coleslaw and pickles. So he becomes such a nudge that the guy gives him a little thing of coleslaw to get him out of there. Place is busy. As he's leaving with the coleslaw and pickles, he tries to get something else. Like he says, you know what, could I taste the meat before I go to pay? Just a little piece, I'm starving. To get a little piece of meat in his hand, too. So he's got the coleslaw for free, the pickles for free, and merely stuffing his mouth with a piece of corned beef on the way to the register for free. So what does Sanders do? He gets invited to the Vatican. And he says, you know what, can I bring my wife, since I'm invited anyway? All right, bring the wife already. Stop bothering us. You're driving us crazy, Sanders. Hey, can I bring my daughter? Before you know it, he had an entourage of 10 people. The wife, the daughter, the grandchildren all went to see the Pope. Now, I know and I respect the fact that he's an atheist, and I would assume that his whole family are atheists who are not practicing Jews. But I would say that the Sanders family, which is probably of Jewish descent, more of them went to the Vatican than have ever gone to a synagogue, which I found to be quite ironic, incidentally. And in honor of Bernie Sanders' brazenness and his ability to get so far on so little, I put this together for you on the Savage Nation. I believe that all those who have consumed seltzer and other carbonated beverages over the years, who have contaminated the atmosphere with the carbon released, there should be a reparations tax on them. On all those who drank seltzer and carbonated beverages, who should pay their fair share. That is what must be done to defeat ISIS, is a seltzer carbon reparations tax. That is my plan for defeating ISIS. In fact, if you would analyze why these wonderful fine men in the Middle East are acting out, it's because of the drifting carbon. The carbon in the atmosphere is drifting to the Middle East and decimating them, frankly. That is why they're unemployed. They're unemployed because of the carbon released from Americans. It's unfortunately, I don't like putting down my fellow Americans, but the fact is, the carbon drifting from America, mainly from Brooklyn, I know it from my youth. There was seltzer everywhere. Seltzer trucks, green bottles, blue bottles, red bottles. Unfortunately, they consumed like animals. They consumed seltzer on an unlimited basis. As a result, there were huge clouds of carbon that were drifting because of the climatic shift of the Earth's atmosphere and the way the atmospheric currents were running. They went right into that Middle Eastern area. Before seltzer became prominent in New York, there was no terrorism when you look back. It was only after seltzer came along that the Arabs started acting up. Now, this is not an ethnic thing. This is not a Jewish versus Arab thing, but there is an element here, which is why I say I'm not a practicing Jew. I did practice drinking seltzer, but I was not a practicing Jew. I did not practice my religion, but I practiced the seltzer part of the religion. Even though it was not part of the religion, it was associated with the religion, and I am guilty, I must say. You listen to me right now. The guilt is something that I live with. I've lived with every day since I had seltzer as a youth. And that's why I say that a seltzer carbon reparations tax is a must. That will stop ISIS in its tracks. I stand by those words, Mrs. Clinton. Yeah, hallelujah, Bernie. Hallelujah, Bernie. So, my friends, are you a sunny or a rainy brain type? That's an interesting program unto itself. And I saw Professor Elaine Fox from Oxford talking about a sunny brain or a rainy brain. Are you an optimist or a pessimist, and how it's related to our, well, our outlook is related to it, and how our brains are wired, and how you can change your rainy brain to a sunny brain a little bit. But in times like these, maybe you don't want to shift from a rainy brain to a sunny brain and be accused of being a Pollyanna. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
This has nothing to do with church and state. This is the fact that we have a man today who I believe is the outstanding global leader of our time in the fight for social justice, economic justice, and trying to combat climate change. In this sense, he is a very beautiful man. You see a resonance from him of beauty. It was an honor to have met with him. Let's leave it at that. It was an honor to have met with him.
Honor to a man. She saw a residence in the Pope. He never saw any residence in a rabbi. The cross is glowing for Bernie. I expected him to convert, frankly, at the Vatican. I would have thought that would have been the sine qua non of his political campaign. But that would have been his personal choice. What do you mean there's no church and state issue? It's clearly a blurring of church and state, Sanders. But no, because he says it, it's not true. Listen to clip 6 of the brazen man from the deli in 6.
Well, I just expressed my admiration for him and the extraordinary role that he is playing, well beyond the Catholic Church, by the way, to people throughout the world. For me, the issues that the Pope is talking about...
All right, you get the picture. Here's a lifetime atheist, hates religion, worships the state, the power of the state in particular. All of a sudden, he finds a religious figure he loves, because the religious figure is a fraud. The religious figure is the first non-European pope selected out of nowhere, first one in 1,400 years or 1,200 years. He's picked, hand-picked by the newly emerging Soviet world, and all of a sudden we have a communist, socialist, fill-in-the-blank pope who starts to espouse all of the rhetoric that Reverend Wright espoused without the F words. Pope Francis is Reverend Wright without the curse words. Pope Francis is Reverend Wright without the hatred coming out of him. He's much smarter than that. That's why he's the Pope, not just a broken-down pastor somewhere in Chicago, living in a $3 million house, while talking about income inequality, surrounded by bodyguards. He's much smarter. He lives in a house in Italy, surrounded by 65-foot walls, and talks about tear down the walls. No immigrants allowed in the Vatican. I love that he brought over 12 immigrants from Syria. They were all Muslim. How can you Catholics not see the danger of this madman, Pope Francis? He will go down in the annals of history as the most dangerous inveigler to have ever penetrated the Catholic Church. He will do more damage to the Catholic Church than you could ever imagine. I don't mean amongst the ignoramuses in the third world. I don't mean the ignoramuses. I'm talking about people with an education in this country, Catholics elsewhere, who can see right through him. This man is a clear and present danger to your own church. But that's my opinion. It's corruption to the highest order. How else would you explain that he would permit the deli man to come visit him at the Vatican? Because they both agree on this, they both agree on economics, and that they have to rip people off in order to keep the church alive and to keep the state alive. So there is no separation of church and state when it comes to Francis and Bernie. They both agree that you have to rip people off to keep the corrupt state and the corrupt church alive. Write that down. Donald Trump is on right after the break. Tell your friends by social media to tune into the Savage Nation. and see if my questions interest you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. With us is the most important man on the horizon for the future of America. I make no mistake in telling you this. I have backed Donald Trump from the beginning for one reason. He is most likely to be able to defeat Hillary Clinton and most likely to bring us back our borders, language, and culture. Without further ado, the man of the hour, Donald Trump. Welcome to the program, Mr. Trump.
Thank you, Michael, and you have been amazing. But wouldn't you maybe be the most important man above me, perhaps? Powerful voice.
Well, now I know that they've tempered you, Donald. Somebody behind the scenes is starting to temper you a little bit. You're giving me a compliment. That's a good sign.
It's been amazing. What's going on has been amazing. So,
Donald, tell us about how. Let me ask you this. All the polls in New York. New York has an actual election, right? It's not like Colorado where the party apparatchiks steal elections.
People actually vote, as opposed to Colorado and Wyoming.
Shocking. Shocking. They're allowed to vote in New York. I can't believe it. How do Ted Cruz's followers support a situation where the voters are cut out of the process and call themselves revolutionaries of the right? How does that work, Mr. Trump?
Because it's establishment, and what happened is, you know, they said they didn't change anything. They totally did. When I ran in June, I announced, June 16th, and in August, and they did some polls and some numbers, and they said, wow, Trump is going to do great in Colorado. So they changed it, so I couldn't do great. They went into a vote, so the bosses took it over, and that's what happened. So they said they didn't change, but they totally changed, whether it's RNC or whoever's running it, they changed. And I didn't want to waste millions of dollars sending people there for 4 or 5 months early, so I just decided not to do it. And Wyoming was the same thing.
It came out today that the Colorado lawmakers, I call them lawbreakers, who voted to scrap the election are Ted Cruz delegates. I'm sure you're aware of that, right?
It's disgraceful. It's a disgrace.
So where are you? In New York right now, where there is no such game playing, it's a straight-out vote in a primary, right, amongst Republicans. What do the polls show right now, Mr. Trump?
Well, they're showing very good. They're showing like 54%. Some have it 60%. Those are the people that know me the best. I've been all over the state, Michael. I've been in, I just got back Rochester and Syracuse, and tonight I'm going to Albany. I was in Poughkeepsie and out on Long Island and Bethpage and Suffolk and all over. And the places are, you look at what's happening to our country. This is a microcosm of the country, but you look at what's happening with the empty plants that we have where everyone's left for Mexico and other places. It's a disgrace. So we'll change that.
Well, Donald, let's talk about income taxes. It's a big issue right now. On the Drudge Report, 45% of Americans pay no federal income tax. What is your tax plan? Is there a short version of it that we can hear about on the Savage Nation today?
My tax plan brings taxes way down. First of all, it simplifies just to four groups instead of having seven. And, you know, they have so many different groups and with all of the things involved. Everybody needs to go out and hire CPAs from Washington or, you know, the whole thing is crazy. Lawyers. My plan simplifies it and cuts the taxes tremendously for the middle class and also cuts the taxes for businesses so businesses can compete. They can't even compete now, Michael. And
right.
If you look at taxes in this country, right. We're the highest taxed nation in the world. My tax proposal cuts them far lower than anybody else, and it's going to reignite the country to start working again.
It is the. Do you know that in Russia and China there is no inheritance tax, Mr. Trump? I'm sure you're aware of that.
Well, I've heard that, but you know they have other problems. But,
well, no, I understand that, but what an incentive it would be in America if we could eliminate such an onerous tax on money that was already taxed. It's crazy. What if I work all my life and I have a family farm and I want to leave it to my grandchildren and I give it to the grandchild and it's worth $1 million and she has to pay $500,000 in taxes and she doesn't have it and she has to sell the farm in order to instead of inheriting it? That doesn't sound too fair to me. But let's move on to the next topic, which is not only that, but the trade war against China. Everyone's saying, oh, Donald Trump's idea of a trade war with China. I don't see it as a trade war. You called for a common sense set of tariffs, which I've called for in three of my last books. Why is that a trade war?
First of all, it's not a trade war. By the way, getting back to your other, though, just for a second, it's called the death tax, which is really what it is, and it's double taxation. Some people could say it's triple taxation, but it is absolutely killing people that have farms and other businesses. They leave them to their children, and the children have to sell their business, oftentimes at a tremendous discount in order to pay the tax. As far as China's concerned, Michael, they are very upset with me because I'm the first one that said that China's ripping off the United States, and they actually issued a release from the Chinese government, the highest officials, saying that Donald Trump is wrong. Well, the fact is, we are in a trade war already. The trade war is lost by us because China charges tremendous tax and makes it impossible, practically, for our companies to go into China. But we open up our borders to China, and their stuff pours in, and we charge them no tax. So it isn't. And we've, by the way, we have a trade deficit with China of $505 billion. So we are not in a war. We've lost the war to China. But I can.
But you're saying, but if you put on tariffs, they're certainly not going to stop selling to us. What they're going to do is grumble about it and pay the tax very happily, wouldn't they? Because they need the market here.
Happen, number one. Number two, we're going to start creating jobs in our country because they got there because they devalued their currency. That's how they got there, and that's why nobody's making anything in our country anymore. So they devalued their currency. That's how they got there in the first place, which in theory is virtually illegal and certainly morally illegal. They're not supposed to be doing it. They do it every chance they get. And I don't know, I hope you saw it, but I was very proud of it, where the Chinese government issued a statement about Trump yesterday, and they actually say that we're the ones that are breaking the rules and regulations, and it's not. They charge tax to go over there, and they make it impossible practically for our companies to compete and to go over to China.
And absolutely.
You know, frankly, we lose so much money dealing with China, we have no choice but to do what we have to do, and the politicians aren't smart enough to realize it.
Donald, in my last book, Government Zero, I made a mention of the fact that we need to elect someone to run America like a business, not an empire. And so you have a lot of people saying, well, Donald Trump's only a businessman. We don't need a businessman. Why don't we need a businessman? Isn't that the essence of the popularity of your campaign? Is that the common sense business approaches that you have applied in your own business dealings is what you'd like to apply running America? Isn't that fundamentally what you're saying?
It is, Michael, but we also have to have big heart. You know, it is somewhat different than business because you really need a lot of things. You need tremendous compassion, tremendous heart. We have to take care of Social Security. We have to take care of Medicare. We have to take care of our people. We have to come up with, a plan to replace Obamacare, which is a total disaster. We'll repeal it and replace it. So you could make the case it's very similar in certain ways, certainly with budgetary things, but it's also you need heart, you need compassion, you need a lot of leadership that is a somewhat...
Yeah, but Donald, we can't take care of the world's poor, who Obama's importing by the millions in order to get them to vote Democrat for the next 200 years. Of course we need compassion, but it's for our own citizens, not for the whole... We can't give away our tax dollars for the world, can we?
We can't, and we're in trouble, and we're bringing in people from Syria that we have no idea who they are, where they come from. There's no documentation. They could be ISIS. They could be who knows what they are. And
right. We
have problems like you've never seen before. Now, if I get elected, we're going to solve those problems. Believe me, we're going to solve them. We're going to solve them fast. But we have a potential to have problems like this country has never seen before based on what Obama's doing.
Donald, Hillary Clinton has gotten very vicious about you recently. She called you a cancer. And yet I very rarely hear you say anything negative about her. Why is that?
Well, I've really held my fire a little bit till I get rid of the final two, but I've started hitting her now. You know, 2 months ago I hit her very hard, and she went way down in the polls after that, and then Bernie got all the credit, which is fine, and, you know, obviously he's winning almost every week. I don't even know how she can win. The guy is beating her every week, and I'm no fan of his, that I can tell you. No, but I hit her very hard in speeches. I'm going up to Buffalo in a half hour. I'm leaving, and we're going to have over 20,000 people in Buffalo, and I hit her very, very hard all throughout New York State. Look, she's a disaster. In fact, I call her Crooked Hillary. She's crooked, but I call her Crooked Hillary, and she's been hit very, very hard, actually.
But, Donald, you look at a city like Buffalo. You look at some of the old factory towns in New York. Many of them were, of course, hit, you know, a long time ago. But when Bill and Hillary Clinton were running America, Mr. Trump, it was they through NAFTA and the other trade deals that were totally lopsided that permitted China to come in here and move whole factories to China. That's how they rebuilt their nation, was with American factories. They took factories out of Schenectady, out of Buffalo, out of Ohio, out of Illinois. They took them out of the small towns. They bought every lathe, every piece of equipment, and they moved them to China. And from there, they rebuilt their entire nation. But it was Hillary Clinton who did it. She was the co-president while her husband was busy doing other things in the Oval Office.
Yeah, well, that's true. But NAFTA is what has absolutely decimated the country. I've been all over the country, and I look at factories. You go up to New England, it was unbelievable some of the things I've seen up there. And when I left Syracuse, or when I left Rochester just a few days ago, and when I leave these places, and now I'm going up to Buffalo tonight, what NAFTA has done to this country is a disgrace, and that's a Clinton baby. And it will be so loud and so clear during this process. And we're going to win. We're going to beat Hillary. I'm the only one that's going to beat Hillary. I think I can win New York against Hillary. Look how well I'm doing. Now, we have to see. The people tomorrow, Michael, have to get out and vote. But I think we have a good chance to beat Hillary in New York. That would be a whole game changer.
Well, I hope so. And I know that you're heard on this station, on WABC and surrounding stations, in an enormous amount. Before you go, Donald, here's a personal question. I've been attacked for the 22 years I've been in radio for being too patriotic. They call me every name under the sun. Fascist, Nazi, you name it. You've seen it all. I want to know how you managed to keep your own counsel in the face of all the insults and all those who were trying to tear you down, including those inside the Republican Party themselves. What do you use to maintain your inner strength?
Well, it's such a great question, but, you know, I have more than 2 million votes more than Cruz. Lion Ted, I call him Lion Ted because I've never seen anybody lie so much. But I have 2 million votes more than Cruz, who, by the way, came up with New York values, and he hates New York. I mean, you can see that, by the anger. But, and he's going to do, I think, very, very poorly. Anybody in New York that would vote for this guy, he stopped relief for Hurricane Sandy. He doesn't want anything to come to New York. He is bad, bad, bad for New York. But when I look at millions of votes ahead, and by the way, 200 delegates ahead, despite the fact that it's a rigged process. It's so rigged, it's disgusting. But I think that's what keeps me going and keeps me enjoying what I'm doing, frankly.
So you're saying winning is everything to you. In other words, winning to you is enough reason to keep fighting. In other words, you don't care what the enemy is saying. All you care about is the results.
Well, the voters understand what's going on. That's why, think of it, 2 million votes more than Cruz. That's a lot of votes. And many more delegates, more than 200 more delegates than Cruz, even though it's a totally rigged system. So that's what, otherwise you would never, you know, you wouldn't put up with it. But it's very dishonest, it's very corrupt, and it's frankly disgraceful. You know, the delegates, you can wine them and dine them and bring them on airplanes and take them all over the place, and it's actually considered to be legal. That has nothing to do with democracy.
No. No, I understand that. Well, in a way, I've learned something from what you just said, and I've used a similar tactic in my own life, which is there's no such thing as bad publicity. Let them keep putting down me all they want, meanwhile I keep rising. And I think what you just said to me is, hey, you know what? Let them say what they want about me. All that matters is the results. I think that's what you just said, isn't it?
Well, the voters get it, and they've really gotten it, and a lot of people are complaining. They actually said, hey, wait a minute. If Trump has more delegates, and if Trump has more votes by millions, than the other guy. How can you even consider the other guy? And I think you're going to see a big turnout tomorrow because people are sick and tired. I'm going to bring back jobs to New York. I'm going to bring back and save people Social Security without cuts and all of the different things we're going to do, Medicare. We're going to do things that nobody else can do. We're going to make our country rich again. You know, we owe $19 trillion. It's going to be $21 trillion because of the omnibus budget, which is a total catastrophe that they just signed. But we're going to make our country strong again, and we're going to make it great. And for New York, we're going to bring back jobs.
Well, that's the main thing, is the economy. Donald Trump, I won't keep you any longer. I know you've got another interview between now and your trip. And I want to thank you again and wish you the greatest success in the New York primary and onward to the White House. Thank you so much for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Thanks very much, Michael. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, folks, you just heard the interview, and I want to know what you think of it. It's that simple. The phone number is 855-400-7282. What did you hear in today's interview that you haven't heard before, if anything? What did you hear in my discussion with Mr. Trump that you never heard me ask another candidate or he himself before? This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. I am, at the end of the day, a pragmatist. I mean, my credentials were established a long time ago. My message has been consistent from the beginning. At my first Paul Revere Society meeting back in 95, 94, I defined my plan as borders, language, and culture, and I've never varied from that. And of course I would like to see a real hardline, right-wing, returning war veteran running things in this country. But we don't have a MacArthur. We have not just come from we don't have an Eisenhower, per se. I was a fan of General MacArthur when I was a little kid. I remember it was 1951, 52. I remember it to this day. It was the height of the Korean War. MacArthur was such a great hero, and he was coming through Queens, New York on Queens Boulevard. And he was such a popular war hero, General MacArthur, that the motorcade was going to go right down on Queens Boulevard, and I begged my father to take me there to see him. And those days are long over, where we revere our war heroes. Those days are long over. But I've always remembered how much I would have liked to see a general. Of course, General Eisenhower won. He was a fairly excellent, moderate Republican president. Make no mistake about it, Eisenhower was a centrist. Do you understand what I just said to you? When have you seen an extremely ultra-conservative senator ever win an election, let's say at that level? Never. So I'm a pragmatist. And if I can't get MacArthur, I will take Eisenhower in the political world. Did you hear what I just said to you? I just am tired of losing elections. All you purists, it was so smart.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282-SAVAGE.
Looking back on this whole Trump-Cruz battle, and I'm thinking about something that I haven't really thought about till today. I never heard of Ted Cruz until recently. I don't know who he was. I never heard of him. Much like Obama was an unknown junior congressman, this one was a junior senator. Obama was a junior senator, rather. Unknown. No one really knew who he was. And all of a sudden, he wants to be president. You say, well, what about Trump? He's never been in office. Yeah, well, that's a plus, given that there's such a distemper in this country for those office holders and their operations that we look at every day. And he's a successful businessman. And we need someone with some business sense, not another academic lawyer who knows nothing about business whatsoever. And, you know, I love people who say, well, all he is a businessman. He's only interested in money. Isn't it about the economy, stupid? What do you mean, it's not about money? What should it be about if not about money? America's broke. Like a basket case with a begging cup. I'm tired of being a begging cup on the world stage. I want America to be proud again. I want the begging cup smashed and turned into a tank. I'd like to convert begging cups into F-21s. That's what I'd like to see. And while we're speaking about that, if I had the power to do this, if Donald Trump should win, and I hope he does, and he would ever say, I don't know if he will, I have no way to know. He said, look, Savage, you know, you're not a bureaucrat. You've never run a big corporation or a big entity, but could you be a casual advisor on HHS? What would you do to rein in the spending of HHS, Health and Human Services? Because the budget now exceeds that of defense. Obama is such a diehard radical leftist that he did everything the left said they would do if they seized power, which is destroy the military and take all of the military spending and give it all to social welfare programs in one form or another. So, Savage, what would you do? How would you rein in the spending of HHS? If he asked me that, I have an answer for that. I've never explained it to you on the show, and I thought about it over the weekend. I didn't get around to that question because I don't think we're there yet. What would I do to rein in the massive budget of HHS, which now exceeds that of the military? Remember, Obama drastically cut defense and vastly increased the welfare state. I'll give it really simple, Mr. Trump, if you were ever to ask me. I would vastly cut welfare. I would eliminate all benefits for illegal aliens immediately overnight. You're not a citizen, you get no benefits. How smart do you have to be to figure that one out? Disability payments, way out of control. Fake disability is at an all-time high. I would immediately increase the penalties in advance and tell anyone caught faking disability will go to prison. You'll drop from probably 14 million people on federal disability to 7 million within 3 months. Once they hear, they can go to jail for it. I would cut fraud and waste in the Department of Health and Human Services immediately. I would cut fraud and waste by reducing the department's bureaucracy by 20%. I would eliminate 20% of the employees in HHS. And I'm a former social worker. Believe me, I know a little bit about fraud and waste in welfare. Way back when. And so there are answers to questions that don't require Bibles and study, and I'll do a blue ribbon commission, a pink ribbon commission. I'll fly, and I'll go to Switzerland and Zurich, and they'll talk, and we'll write reports. And in 17 years, I'll give you a report. I gave you the report for free just now. And I hope that some of Donald Trump's people are listening. Write it down, because it's a very good idea. You don't need another pointy-headed professor from anywhere to tell you what needs to be done to rein in some spending of HHS. That's just the beginning. You want me to get started on science in America? How science itself has been corrupted? Not solely under Obama. He's only made it worse. We have the equivalent of the Soviet Union now operating our scientific establishment. I wrote all about Lysenko in Government Zero, for those of you who are in the sciences, and how the fraudulent science of Lysenkoism permeated all of the Soviet science at the time, and how devastating it was for pure research. I would restore pure research in America. I would not make it all tied to special interests such as the global gangsters, the green gangsters. You wouldn't have to submit a grant which proves in one way or another whether you're, if you're studying, let's say, how a nematode reproduces, that it's all a result of global warming. Every scientific study in America today has been so perverted by the green gangsters that unless the poor young postdoc student writes it up so that it shows that global warming is somehow responsible, it won't even be reviewed by the committee. That's called the destruction of science itself. You don't need a blue ribbon commission to fix that one. I would greatly increase funding for the warming skeptics. Greatly increase the skeptic. And for every grant that has been given to prove that warming is involved in this or that or the nematodes behind, I would make funds available for the skeptics on man-made global warming, the skeptics of, and make money available for that. Because once you fund skeptics, you'll find out that the evidence is not 98% of scientists agree. Well, if you fund only that kind of science, you can make it 100%, especially if you put those in jail who disagree. Put the other 2% in prison, and you'll have 100%. You'll be in North Korea before you know it. So that's Attorney General Schneiderman of New York, a walking, talking Nazi fascist. Can you imagine saying you're going to use RICO against someone who doesn't agree with your fraudulent science because they know they can't support their arguments based upon the evidence that they're using because it's all fake? Can you imagine they say we're going to now conspire to use RICO statutes against them? I hope if Donald Trump wins, he appoints an attorney general who will put Schneiderman and all the other AGs, along with the green gangsters, who conspired in this particular way. I would try them under RICO, every last one of them. Take them out in handcuffs like Bernie Madoff, because they're no better. I don't care if their suit's cleaner. They're no better than Bernie Madoff trying to take away my free speech. So now you understand where I'm coming from. Ask me any question you want. I have answers for them. It's not like I'm going to make it up on the spot. I have written a certain number of books, like the last five books were on the New York Times best-selling list. There's a reason for it. It's not because they like my hat. It's not because people said, oh, that's a nice hat. You know, the guy like his hat. I think I'll buy the book. There's a lot of books sit on the bookshelves. No one buys it. Oh, look at that. Government Zero. Look at that. He has a... Look at that hat. Look at the fedora he's wearing. Honey, it's a green-brown. I think we should buy the book for the... Look at a beard, how nicely it's trimmed. You know, honey, should we buy the book because he has a nice trim goatee? Well, no, honey, but I do like the green shirt and the sort of green suit. Let's buy it for the suit. Let's not buy it for the 350 pages, including 50 pages of references in Government Zero. Very well thought out. No, don't. Let's not look into that. Let's just buy it for the front picture of it. Combining in-depth analysis with... Well, anyway, you get. I don't want to read from it. In fact, soon after this is over, in a couple of weeks, Teddy and me will be out, Confessions of a Service Human, which is sort of a work of love. It's pictures of Teddy by Vince Rimini, some of the most beautiful pictures. It's heartwarming. But more than that, there are 10,000 words of poetry in this. On You Can Judge People by How They Treat Dogs, Best Friends, Teddy is My Co-Pilot, Jerome, How I Learned to Speak with Animals and Audiences, Kindly Dogs and Kindly Bears, Tippy and All My Other Dogs, Teddy Inspires Me, Teddy Eats Out, and Moments to Cherish. It's actually well written, and it's one from the heart. And Teddy and Me is a beautiful book. You know, oh, there's so much more I want to say at this moment. I can't. You know, sometimes thoughts flood your mind, and you have to think about what you want to say very carefully, especially in a public arena such as this. I tend to want to move away from politics on a very regular basis because I find politics to be interesting up to a point, but it's not my whole life. Walking with my granddaughter this morning in the flower garden on the hill, I would say open new doors in my soul that I didn't even know were there. You may think that they're there and say, oh, yeah, well, if I have a grandchild, I will. No, you don't know what you're going to feel. It's like a child, your first child. You don't know what you're going to feel. I got young guys working for me there. Well, Robert's about to get married soon and then go on a honeymoon. He'll have a family one day. He's a great guy. But does he really know how he's going to feel when he has a child? You don't know. You ask any man that you ever meet who has a child, who really was there for the children, what they felt when they saw that child being born and how it changed them virtually on the spot. And these are some of the things that are the essence and the whole reason for being, which is family. And so you say, well, what does this have to do with politics? I'd say it's all got to do with politics. It's what kind of world do you want your children and grandchildren to live in? Do you want them to live in a world where one race has been turned against another by the jackal in chief? Do you want to live in a world where a street rat like Al Sharpton has been invited in and out of the White House? You'll have to exterminate the White House after this one leaves from what he invited in there, in my opinion. You don't like it? It's too bad. You don't like what I just said? It's too bad. I don't care if you like it or not. Don't tell me that I'm disrespecting the presidency. He has virtually destroyed the presidency with his actions and the people that he's had in and out of that White House, the parties with those people. The Al Sharpton's in and out of the White House. Don't tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. Don't tell me I debased the presidency by talking about him like that. He has debased the presidency, not me. The abuse of power is overwhelming. It smells like a garbage dump in Rome, Italy. The stink coming out of that place from what he's done to it. Flying a family to South America without any real business. Visiting a communist dictatorship without saying one word about the communist dictatorship and then flying down to South America with two Air Force Twos so that the wife and kiddies can go on another vacation in South America? That's not an abuse of power? And every day we hear about income inequality and unfairness and global warming, all part of the scam. Then he comes to San Francisco to raise more money, Mr. Income Inequality. $40,000 a plate to sit and eat with the Jackal in Chief. And who's his number one hostess? Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, a paragon of virtue. So you tell me the people don't see this? The people see it so clearly that it hurts them. The people see the corruption and the stench to such an extent that it hurts them to see it. And it hurts them more to see the Cruz-Trump fight, because that's not where the fight should be. The fight should be against the stench coming off the socialist criminals who have run this nation off the rails. And on that note, I'll take a quick call right after the break, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
I don't respond to Donald Trump and his string of insults about me. I can take care of myself. I look forward to running against him if he turns out to be the Republican nominee, if I am the Democratic nominee. What I'm concerned about is how he goes after everybody else. He goes after women. He goes after what? Muslims. He goes after immigrants. He goes after people with disabilities. He is hurting
nonsense.
Our unity at home.
Oh, you got it backwards.
He's undermining
your brain
the values that
wrong.
We stand for in New York and across America, and he's hurting us around the world. He can say whatever he wants to say about
me. Yeah, right. We heard this malarkey before. No, he is not undermining the values we stand for. He is undermining the values that you stand for, which is a valueless world. He is standing up to immigrants who come here to rip off the system. I never heard him go after people with disabilities. Have you? Well, where'd that come from? I mean, the next you'll hear that he did something that we never heard of. Goes after people with disabilities. He's hurting our unity at home? No, I would think that that's the Jackal in the White House who did that. Joe, on WABC, how was the Trump interview in your mind?
Michael, I thought he was well-timed, well-tempered, very strategic, very smart. And I remember hearing him on your show about 5 years ago, so you've been a strong supporter ever since. He'll take on Hillary when he has to, but right now he has to win the battle here. We're voting in a CEO, and we should look at the resume of a CEO. We should not just look at or hear what they define themselves as, because these words are free. Anybody can
right.
claim those liberals.
That's right. Any tin-horn senator can claim he's going to do this or that, but he has no business experience. So why should we count on Cruz being able to manage an economy? When has he ever done that before?
Well, he hasn't. He's an elitist Ivy League.
But that's the problem with Obama. Obama also never ran a business. Obama never built anything. And look what he did to this country, printing money in order to push his social programs down our throat. So now Cruz fundamentally is the same thing. No business experience, but he's going to manage a multi-trillion dollar economy all of a sudden. How? How's he going to do that? All right, that's why I say it's the economy stupid. And I'll take my chances on a Republican businessman over a junior Republican senator with no experience whatsoever. It's not that I hate Cruz. I don't know Cruz from a hole in the wall, to be honest with you. But A, he can't win. And I will say why over and over again until you finally hear me. I don't care whether you love him and you hate Trump. It doesn't matter to me. What matters is winning. How many elections do you want to lose? You want to lose another one? You want to turn it over to Hillary and destroy your country forever within a continuation of Obama? Obama 3 is what it'll be. It'll be Obama 3 in a skirt, but much worse. We need a house cleaning. And we need a strong, tough-minded businessman who's given to winning to clean that house. And I think he's the one to win the election. He's the one to do it. I recognize that for many of you, you want more bona fides on some of your conservative talking points, and that would be nice, but you're not going to get it. And that's academic at a certain point anyway. Sounds good, reads good. But at the end of the day, does it really sell in America? What really sells in America? You see, in America, we actually still have a primitive thing that you Cruz supporters don't seem to like very much. It's called a vote. You know that people still actually go out on election day and they're allowed to vote in America? Unlike in Colorado, Wyoming, or Georgia. I know that many of you Cruz supporters think that it's just perfectly fine that a few apparatchiks in closed behind closed doors get to pick a candidate. But, you know, I really don't want to live in a country where my vote is nullified before I even go to the polls. And how anyone can claim to be a conservative and then cite rules and say, oh, those rules have been in place for hundreds of years. Well, if rules have been in place for hundreds of years denying the vote, it's time to change the rules and permit people to actually speak. Don't you think people have a right to be heard? Isn't that what a conservative is? Excuse me, where is it written anywhere in the conservative playbook that not voting is suddenly conservative? Do you have any idea how foolish this makes you sound to people who understand what you're actually saying? That not voting is now a conservative value? That's amazing. That's what you're pushing. All you Cruz supporters are pushing the idea that not voting is now a conservative value and that you should leave it to a few party hacks in a back room because they made the rules up 200 years ago. Isn't that what the fight is all about? Isn't the fight to change things, to give people more power rather than less power? Then what do you stand for? Then what are your values? Give people no power? Look at yourself in a mirror. You'll find out that you're coming up short.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
If Donald is the nominee, Hillary Clinton wins. And she wins by double digits. And I don't believe Donald is going to be the nominee. As I said, five states in a row, we've won landslides over and over and over again. The stakes are too high for us to hand the election to Hillary Clinton.
You know, whether you like Cruz or not is, you know, your opinion. Whether I like Trump or not is my opinion. But he's a liar. Five states in a row, we've won landslides? What kind of landslide is it when you don't let the people vote, Ted? You know, Donald has called you lying, Ted, for a reason. This does not show you to be a great leader. I could see you saying, okay, we won a state because of the delegates. But don't lie and say you won a landslide. And as far as the statement that if Donald is the nominee, Hillary Clinton wins and she wins by double digits, I think that applies to Ted Cruz. That's my own personal bias. And I'll ask you, the audience, what you think. Who is more likely to beat Hillary Clinton and why, Trump or Cruz? That is the question, my friends. That's the only question for this segment of the show, because the battle lines have been drawn, and they should not have been drawn this severely. There should be no civil war between Trump and Cruz, but there is a civil war, and all of us have taken sides. This civil war should have ended weeks ago. Instead, it's getting worse, and that's because of the rigged system. That's because of the folks in the Cruz camp who are saying it's perfectly fine to deny people a vote and then call it a landslide when the delegates who rigged the system vote for their candidate. It's astonishing to watch this happen in front of our eyes. And if you care to comment on that, go ahead. If you heard the Trump interview, go ahead. Here are some of the other topics I've not gotten to yet, and there's nothing to do here with Cruz, so don't listen carefully to this if you're interested only in that topic. Fears that a strain of super gonorrhea could spread across the UK and may become untreatable. There has been a recent outbreak of a highly drug-resistant strain of the sexually transmitted infection. And the reason I'm mentioning this to you is because many of you are traditionalists and you don't practice random sex. You are monogamous. You have one partner. You believe that that's the way human beings were set up to live. And this confirms that you are right and the Bible's correct. This confirms that Sodom and Gomorrah lead to the death of a nation. Coffee lowers cholesterol and reduces the risk of liver disease, study shows. Drinking a high volume of coffee each day can prevent non-fatty liver disease, even among the obese, according to new Italian research. A new study suggests that drinking 6 cups of coffee a day can reduce the risk of severe liver disease. All right, that's interesting. I can't handle more than a cup and a half. That's the most I could have. I mean, my brain starts to fry after two cups of coffee. I have one in the morning, personally, and if I can, I can maybe another one before the show, which I didn't do today. I'd like one right now, but I know I won't sleep tonight. But I can't do six cups a day. I mean, that's so Italian. What size cups are they talking about anyway? I don't know what kind of cup they're talking about. An ounce I could do six times a day, but if I'm doing 6 to 8 ounces in the morning, that's about it. Plenty of caffeine in that. The results show that coffee can reverse NAFLD-related problems such as ballooning degeneration, a form of liver cell degeneration. I know that everyone in the Democrats and Socialists are listening to see if I'm putting them down. The Cruz bots are seeing if there's a secret message against Ted Cruz and what I just said. See if you can read a message against Ted Cruz in this, you psychopathic, you paranoid lunatics. The results show that coffee can reverse NAFLD-related problems, such as ballooning degeneration, a form of liver cell degeneration. Oh, I heard that. I know what you're implying. Here's another one. See if you can hear the code words in this story. All the Cruz bots and the Hillary bots out there. Low-fat diet helps postmenopausal women avoid deadly breast cancers. Oh, I know what you're saying about that. That's outrageous. That's so misogynistic. Well, no, it really isn't a scientific statement. Women who stayed on a low-fat diet for approximately 8 years reduced their risk of death from invasive breast cancers and improved their survival rates, research has shown. Rowan Chalbowski, MD, PhD of the Los Angeles Biomedical Research Institute, presented the new findings from a Women's Health Initiative dietary modification trial at a clinical trial plenary session entitled Transformative Clinical Trials in Breast Cancer. I heard that. I know that was a smear. I heard that. That was a put-down of Cruz. I heard that. Women who stayed on a low-fat diet for approximately 8 years reduced their risk of death from invasive breast cancers and improved their survival rates when compared with women who had not followed dietary regimen. Now, what's interesting about this is that an association between dietary fat intake and breast cancer outcomes was suggested nearly 50 years ago. I've written about it. First of all, I studied it in graduate school. Secondly, it was established in the literature a long time ago. And the most significant epidemiological proof of it was that women who lived in nations which had high-fat diets had a higher incidence of breast cancer, and women who lived in nations that had low-fat diets, like Japan, had a very low incidence of breast cancer. Now, you know, certainly that's not cause and effect necessarily, but there was a linkage between low-fat diets and low rates of breast cancer. So this confirms it, this new study. And so if women who are listening to the show are concerned about it, and I certainly would be if I were a woman. The women in the study were ages 50 to 79. They had no prior breast cancer, had normal mammograms, and normal dietary fat intake. And of that group, approximately 20,000 were put on a low-fat diet with nutritionist-led group sessions that sought to reduce fat intake reduction to 20% of energy and increase the consumption of fruits, veggies, and grain. The other 30,000 women in the trial followed their usual dietary patterns. So after 8 years of remaining on, that's a long study, 8 years of remaining on a low-fat diet, 1,767 of the women were diagnosed with breast cancer. This is very important, women. Listen to the rest of this. Researchers found that the breast cancer overall survival from diagnosis was higher in the dietary group, 82% versus 78%. Well, there's a lot to the study. And the study suggests that women would need to remain on the low-fat diets to maintain the benefits of the dietary intervention. Low-fat diet helps postmenopausal women avoid deadly breast cancers. So that's story two. That has nothing to do with Cruz or Trump. Here's story three. This came out in the New American over the weekend, in the New American by Selwyn Duke. Selwyn's a great writer, and the headline is, Michael Savage says the West will collapse without Christian revival. And he writes this, there has never been a successful and long-lasting atheistic civilization, and there never will be, is the opinion of many astute observers, and it's also apparently the belief of radio giant Michael Savage, as he issued a dire warning on his Wednesday show, quote, unless Christianity receives a new enthusiasm that sweeps the Western world, and Christianity itself rises up against the forces against it, the entire West will collapse in your lifetime. Savage, the author of numerous best-selling books and host of the award-winning Savage Nation radio program, has long warned that the West is imperiled by savages from without and is being savaged by militant secularists within. Now addressing the crux of the matter, Savage is adamant that the death of Christian belief portends the death of the West. As he said, I can almost prove it. I can almost feel it. It's palpable to me. And I'm not the only one who sees it or feels it. Anyone I know with a certain intelligence level above a minimal amount sees what's going on in Europe, and they say that we're not far behind. Presumably, Savage was referring to secular Europe's acceptance of waves of unassimilable Muslim migrants, which includes some jihadists, the Islamization of the continent, and the rapid moral decay bedeviling the entire West. It's plain to many that the erosion of the West's foundational faith is synonymous with the erosion of her foundation. Well, I think many of you agree with that, and so there's no point from the Brothers Karamazov, from Dostoevsky in 1880, when he wrote, are you ready for this? 1880, the Brothers Karamazov. If God does not exist, everything is permitted. It's that simple. Now you understand why Bernie Sanders is an atheist. I'm not a practicing Jew. If you don't have a God and you have no Ten Commandments, you can do anything, right? So Dostoevsky said it best. If God does not exist, everything is permitted. To paraphrase Belgian playwright Emile Kameretz, quote, when people cease believing in God, it's not that they start to believe in nothing. It's that they'll believe in anything. That is so beautifully put. And what do you believe in today? What do you believe in today? Think about it. When the Wall Street Journal's Bret Stephens wrote last year that the death of Europe is in sight, he opined that its people stand for shallow things, shallowly. Europeans only believe in human rights, tolerance, openness, peace, progress, the environment, pleasure. And Selwyn writes, yet it's worse than that. There is only truth and then innumerable lies disconnected from the former. A people inevitably fall victim to the latter. And we're embracing lies only the insane can believe. Pseudo-elite dogma currently is that a boy must be considered a girl if he claims he is so deep down, even though the claim is made based on nothing but feelings. Moreover, would to be considered bigots for not participating in his delusion or for denying him access to the bathrooms of his choice. And then there's that obsession with using Big Brother to coerce Christian businessmen into servicing faux weddings, which occurs while the left makes not a peep when a Muslim businessman refuses to party, to be a party to them. And treason is now the norm. A former aide to ex-British Prime Minister Tony Blair admitted that massive third world immigration into the UK was orchestrated by the Labour Party in order to, quote, hold your nose now, in order to rub the right's nose in diversity and render their arguments out of date. My friends, you're witnessing the death of the West. And there's very little that can be done that I can see other than a revolution at the ballot box with someone who can stop progressivism in her skirt. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. So, in England, there's a newspaper, the DailyMail.com. They're laughing at Ted Cruz supporters. They're saying Cruz claims he's won landslides over and over, beating Trump in five consecutive states, even though only one of them held an election. How could anyone not see the hypocrisy? If this was coming from the left, I'd say, okay, that's how they work. They're into party apparatchiks running everything. But I thought this entire election was about throwing the bums out and giving people power. So now you people on the Cruz side are celebrating taking power from the people. How in the world can you not see the hypocrisy? You just won a Pinocchio Award. Here's what they say in England. Texas Senator won handily in Wisconsin, but his more recent voterless victories have drawn scorn from Donald Trump supporters. Trump says Cruz has to get his delegates from the Republican bosses and frames those wins as sneaky and meaningless. Cruz says he is winning grassroots victories and claims this is how elections are won in America. Oh, yeah, they are. You mean this is how elections are stolen in America? Something you would know a lot about, apparently. It's how you became a senator. Now we know how he became a senator, I guess. He knew the system and how to work it. Is that what you want for a president now? Someone knows how to manipulate the system? Great. What does that say about you? You've been hoodwinked. And for him to say that in five states in a row we've won landslides over and over again, even though just one of those was an actual primary election where the people's votes were heard? Listen to Ted Cruz boasting about a falsehood here in clip 13.
If Donald is the nominee, Hillary Clinton wins, and she wins by double digits. And I don't believe Donald is going to be the nominee. As I said, five states in a row, we've won landslides over and over and over again. The stakes are too high for us to hand the election.
So, you know, I can hear him say we won, but to say landslides is an embarrassment for him because there were no landslides. No primary vote. Cruz scooped up all 14 of Wyoming's delegates on Saturday after front-runner Donald Trump's campaign made little effort to put up a fight. Wyoming held no primary vote. Total of 475 party apparatchiks convened in Casper to hold a state convention and appoint Cruz loyalists. You hear this? That's called a landslide. So do we need someone who's going to use doublespeak? Don't we have that already with Obama? You want more doublespeak? So that's what I'm saying is going on here. If he was winning fair and square, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. He's not winning fair and square. He's winning through the party system, the very party system that we have all said needs to be changed. How can you disagree with me? How can you disagree with common sense like that? Let me ask you something. All of you Cruz supporters, didn't you say that you want to change the system? Yes or no? Raise your hand. Yes, you don't like the corrupt political system. Didn't you say it stinks? Haven't you been arguing that the political system is rotten to the core? And isn't it the people that you want to have a voice in what goes on in the country? How many times have you felt that you've been disenfranchised by Obama by going around Congress? 1,000 times? So now you want a candidate who goes around the voters? Is that what you're saying? How do you differ then than Obama supporters? You don't. And so I'm trying to show you the hypocrisy of your opinion. Oh, I know you'll cite rules and regulations. That's what lawyers do. Lawyers write the rules to screw the people. That's why you love lawyers so much. So they wrote the rules to screw Donald Trump out of a popular vote. I would have nothing to say if there was a popular vote and Trump lost. You never heard anyone complaining about that. No one said it was rigged when Cruz won a state. We know why he won Wisconsin, because the entire Republican state was run by Scott Walker, a very fine man, but he runs the party, and they rallied around him, and they did exactly what Scott Walker wanted them to do, which is vote for an establishment candidate who was in Congress called Ted Cruz. Scott Walker did not want an outsider coming into that state and taking any of the delegates. In that sense, he's a very good politician. But he's not a very democratic politician in that regard. To me, it's one person, one vote. And the only way to change the system is to have people vote. Otherwise, we're going to wind up with no meaningful vote whatsoever. What's the point of voting if it can be stolen by delegates? What does the word delegate mean but an appointed political activist? What is a delegate? An appointed political activist. What is a delegate? Someone who's been paid to do what the party bosses want. What is a delegate? Some drunk from Nowhereville who's been paid to do what the party boss tells him to do. What is a delegate? Some drunk who goes a free trip to Disneyland to do what the party boss tells her to do. What is a delegate? Some drunk who gets a rubber chicken dinner for nothing and gets to go to the convention in Casper and thinks she's important. What do you mean delegate? What are you, suddenly you have no sense and no right to vote anymore? That's what you're voting for with Ted Cruz? The right not to vote is with Ted Cruz. So if you don't want to vote, vote for Ted Cruz. If you want to live in an America where the vote doesn't count anymore, vote for Ted Cruz. If you want to vote where only a delegate votes for you because you're too stupid to be heard, vote for Ted Cruz.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
You know, I never had strong feelings against Ted Cruz. I just felt Trump was the more winning candidate, more readily to beat Hillary. Okay, I've said that for months. But lately, I'm starting to think that Cruz is as sneaky as he looks, that my analysis of his appearance being a deficit was correct. His behavior is starting to be reprehensible. He's now supporting the nun vote as a victory for democracy. Do you realize if what Ted Cruz has pulled off in Colorado and Wyoming was going on in South America right now, the UN might have to intervene? if what Ted Cruz is holding up as the paragon of democracy, which is no voting, where decisions are made for the people by a few, a handful of powerful individuals who appoint stooges, we would not call that democracy, would we? Haven't we gone to war in the Middle East to restore a system where people can vote? Isn't that what we fought in Iraq? For in Iraq is for the popular vote. Weren't we told that we did not want a dictatorship? So as I said, think about it carefully before you say, well, I'm for Cruz and you're wrong. You're actually supporting a dictatorship. You are supporting the elimination and nullification of a vote. You're identical then, your philosophy is identical to that of Obama, which is nullifying the will of the people. Haven't you complained for years that Obama does what he wants? He goes around Congress. He ignores Congress. He intimidates. Isn't that what you said is wrong with the system? Aren't you hoping to change it where the people's voice and vote count? So how can you now support a guy who wins states without a vote and millions of people are disenfranchised? Is that not a logical impossibility for you to live with? Now, you may say, well, the rules are. Well, we all know what lawyers are. We know how lawyers work. They write law books in order to screw people. How many times have you gone to court and won a case and found out that you lost because they wrote the rules so you never collect the money that you won? Or they keep delaying justice because they wrote the rules. Is that what you want? Because that's what you're getting with Ted Cruz. You're getting a lawyer's tricks from the top to the bottom, and I really don't like it. The more I look at him, the less I like him. But you know, it's a moot point right now, what I like and don't like. What matters is, as of next Tuesday, the game is over for him. Can't win. He mathematically cannot win after next week. So let's all hold our breath, and let's save our real vitriol for Hillary Clinton, or whoever the nominee may be. I don't see how it could be him, but God forbid, the seltzer man cometh. I don't know. It could be the seltzer man cometh. In which case, that's going to be a real fun election. So we'll have, maybe the Pope will make a cameo on the campaign trail. The Pope could appear on Saturday Night Live for Bernie. Maybe Bernie will invite him to have a deli with him. Maybe the Pope likes some deli food. Bernie could invite him to meet with him for 5 minutes and speak with him in a vestibule about global corned beef and the shame of the rising prices of corned beef around the world and how it's related to global warming. You never know what might happen tomorrow. Let's go to the callers. WBOB in Florida. Lou, thanks for holding so long on the Savage hold line. Go ahead, please, Lou. From BOB in Jacksonville, what's on your mind?
Thank you for bringing to light that Ted Cruz is the Republican Obama, talking at you about his academic pedigree and his intellectual superiority. It's just so annoying to me where Donald Trump, he'll talk to you, not at you. And Donald has proven himself. And
so you don't like being lectured to. You don't like being lectured to.
No. Who wants to be browbeaten? No.
I don't know. I don't like being lectured at. I leave restaurants if they give me a lecture. I once left a restaurant recently over that, a lecture job. I said to the waiter, I didn't come here for a lecture. I came here to eat. Gave me a whole story on something. You ever have that? That San Francisco is famous for people who cut you off and don't listen to it. They tell you everything. They correct everything you say. Experts. Okay, let's see. Donald Trump on Michael Savage radio show today. Okay, you could take that down, Doug Lynn, up in Oregon and change it already. He was on. Now he's off. Put the interview up for those who missed it. WMAL, Mike, you heard the interview with Donald Trump today. What'd you think of it? Go ahead, please. You're on the air.
No, just talking to him. He, you know, he's a billionaire, but he acts like, you know, one of the people. He doesn't like to be fluffed. And you see Hillary Clinton and Ted Cruz, all these politicians. He's the guy out there who's, all he cares about are the facts. And he's been pretty consistent. You know, everybody talks about changing, how, you know, he changed to be Hillary. I think he's been pretty consistent, and I think that's probably the best thing about him. So
okay, you like his down-to-earth stuff. Here's what Barack Hussein Obama is doing to you today. As we talk about Trump and Cruz, you want to hear what he's done? Are you ready? Muslim Brotherhood Day on Capitol Hill. Frank Jake Afney Jr., contributor. April 18, 2016. On Monday, April 18th, legislators' offices will be visited by individuals associated with a group unknown to most lawmakers. The United States Council of Muslim Organizations. Do you know who they are? According to Mr. Gaffney, the USCMO is the latest in a long series of front organizations associated with and working to advance the agenda of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. Be very careful with your desire for, I don't have a word for this. We know that Obama is a stealth candidate for an international desire to Islamize the West. And he is doing it on a daily basis. When you wake up and see these people here in Washington, under the guise of diversity, ethnicity, humanity, nationality, do you see who's there? They're Muslim Brotherhood front groups. But don't think that's a shock. Some members of Congress have already embraced the Council of Muslim Organizations. Two with long-standing ties to assorted Muslim Brotherhood fronts include Representatives Andre Carson, D. Indiana, and Keith Ellison, D. Minnesota. Pro-Hamas, anti-Semitic, pro-Muslim Brotherhood. My friends, we're in very, very bad shape. And whoever becomes president, assuming it will not be Hillary Clinton, and that's a big assumption, has to take this issue of the creeping Islamization of America very seriously. And frankly, of the two candidates, I think only Trump mentioned the Muslim problem. Did Cruz even mention it, Robert? Does anyone know? Did Cruz ever say anything about the issue of Muslim immigration? Did he actually say he would stop the Syrian refugees? I don't know. I don't know on that. Did I think we actually read his website on immigration? And all Cruz said was is that we need immigration reform. But he never said what he would do about the actual flood of immigrants who are here who are a problem. So what do you think? Who has the best chance of beating Hillary? Is it Trump or Cruz? That's what I'd like to know from you. Roman on WFTL in Fort Lauderdale. What's on your mind today, my friend?
Sir, the only thing is I want to concur with you. Thanks for taking my call. Donald Trump is the best candidate because this country has gone too far to the left, and we will not be able to elect anyone other than a centrist, which is what you stated about half an hour ago. So I agree.
Yes. Notice what I said. I know that Trump is not a diehard conservative. I'm very well aware of that. But I also know who is electable in the country that I live in, rather than inside the textbook of my mind. You know, the difference between me and others is that while I write books, I don't live inside books. I live in the real world. I actually go out in the real world. And I look around and I see who's living in the country. They all vote, by the way. Whether the Cruzites know it or not, the folks who are making your sandwiches actually vote. The people who are washing the dishes vote. The people who are cutting your trees, they vote. The people who are building the buildings and the houses in your neighborhood, they vote. Make no mistake about it. And some of them might vote for a Republican, but I don't think that they would vote for Cruz. I think that they're more likely to vote for Trump for the reasons I said 3 months ago before the results turned to confirm what I was saying. I said to you that Hispanics are more likely to vote for Trump than you might think, despite what the media tells you. What did I base that on? I based it on Real Life 101. When I go around and I see Hispanic men working so hard, building houses. I see 7 houses in the going up. All Hispanic workers, every one of them, every last one of them, I see them work from the morning when I take my first bike ride until the end of the day, long after the show is over when I take my second bike ride. And you know what? I hear happy men. They're happy to be in this country. And they work like no one I've ever seen in my life. They work like I've never seen anything like it. Work and work and work. And virtually every one of them, if he doesn't have a family, wants a family. And every one of them, if he has a family, he's going to be home with the children. And he's going to take that child to Kentucky Fried Chicken on Sunday before or after church. I can guarantee you, these are family men. I've seen them in KFC on a Sunday. I've seen the poor immigrant Mexican worker dressing his little girl up in a white outfit to go to church. I've seen it. I'm not blind. I see the future of America, and I know what the future of America is. And I know that that man with the pickup truck with the little girl in the white dress wants in America what I want and what most people in America have always wanted. Yeah, they want the American dream. They want to start with a little house somewhere in wherever they could afford it. They want to save every dime that they make. They buy, want to buy a little house, and they want their little girl or their little boy to go to school and not get shot, to not take drugs, and to not come home like Caitlin. That's all they want. I'm sorry to give it to you the way it is. They don't want a little Caitlin in the house. I'm sure if they get one, they'll love her. But they don't want one. Be very clear. Let's be very clear about it. And they don't want schools brainwashing their little girl and their little boy before they even know what sex is to tell them they're not a boy or not a girl. They don't want the psychopaths destroying their children's brains. I know what they think. Trust me, I know what they think. But getting back to the election, I also know that they're all into the alpha male world. I know the world of the Mexican mind very well. These are my macho guys. They're very tough guys. They work very hard. And they don't like a woman telling them what to do. Let me be very clear, whether you want to hear it or not, they don't want to be bossed around by a woman president. And they're probably going to vote for a man, and they would vote for Trump because he's a rich man. One thing you got to know about poor men who want to make it in America is they like rich men. They don't spit on them. They don't buy Bernie's lies that they want income redistribution. They fled socialist dictatorships. They know the hellhole of Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Mexico. They know what corruption is. They know what socialist domination is. They know how it crushes a spirit and how it prohibits a man from rising in the world. So they come to America. Who would they look up to most? A crumpled up Bernie Sanders who hates everybody who has anything? Or a successful Donald Trump who has everything? Who would you vote for if you came here? A crumpled old loser like Bernie Sanders, or some hag like Hillary Clinton who already had the presidency and look what she did to the country? They know she's used goods. She's an old tire that's been blew up on the highway a long time ago. And they retreaded it over at, Harry's House of Rubber, somewhere off where 280 meets 380 on the corner of 980. There's a special place that takes tires and retreads them and makes them look just like new by putting a special white wall on it. They know it. They don't have to speak every word of English to know what's going on. And they all vote. And they know what's going on. And they don't like high taxation. And they want a chance at life here in America in plain English. I saw the future of America. I see it every day. And I know where it's going. And I'd recommend something to anyone who's raising a child. I'll tell you right now what you should make sure your child is. Make sure your child is bilingual. I could tell you right now, the language of the land is English. And those who speak English will always rise above everyone else. You speak good English. You write good English. You're going to rise to the top of whatever you're going to do. But you must understand that there are going to be many, many people who do not speak English. And that's because Obama wanted it that way. He wants a polyglot Tower of Babel, because a house divided can be manipulated much more easily than a unified house. But should we win the election, and I hope we do, come November, we may have a candidate who starts to espouse English as the official language of America all over again. And I would recommend that the Federal Election Commission eliminate all ballots in any language except English. That if you do not speak English, unless you can write English, you will not vote in this country. Having said that, I'd recommend that anyone who has a child make sure that the child is bilingual and have them learn Spanish on a regular basis from the earliest of ages. Because there are going to be millions of people who will not speak English very well. And if you want to run a business, or you want to be heard in certain places and be, let us say, respected, or let us say, accepted. Never mind respected, just accepted. You'll get a lot more out of the world if you can speak the language of people who can't speak yours. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. Well, as the show comes to an end, I want to tell you that my best friend is not Donald Trump. It's my dog, Teddy. And long after this election is over, my little book, Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human, will still be in the bookstores. And one of the chapters is entitled, Teddy is My Best Friend, and there's no question about it. And then I ask myself a question by writing. I remember, for example, what is a human being? I guess I remember when I was a boy, maybe 10 or 11 or 12, I had a best friend, and I'll call him Steven. And waking up on Saturday morning, I write, hasn't felt like that the days of boyhood since. The whole day was before us, usually consisted of getting on our bicycles and going on a very long ride. There used to be a bicycle path where I grew up in Queens, New York. They said it was Vanderbilt's private roadway for his racing car. Now, I don't know whether that was true or not, but it was an amazing place to take a bike ride on. We'd start out in mid-Queens, where I lived, sort of in the Jamaica area, actually near Donald Trump's house, just on the other side of the tracks on Union Turnpike, the main roadway that separates the houses of the lower middle from the upper middle classes, and we'd bicycle all day long, way, way out. Sometimes Stephen and I would be gone all day, talking, playing, kidding, laughing. And I write, now how can you compare that with the companionship of an animal, even a highly intelligent, intuitive dog? I ask this not to diminish my relationship with Teddy or any of my other dogs, which have all been special, but to keep things in perspective. Man is unique, special in all kinds of ways, some of which are even negative. Still, having said that, there is no more consistently loyal friend than a dog. My friends, the rest can be seen in Teddy and Me. It's a lovely book. It's great for Mother's Day. It's not yet in the bookstores, but you can buy it on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com, and I think you'll love it for years and years to come, and there's almost no politics in it. The pictures are astounding. They're sure to bring warmth to your heart.